PFA upholds distribution of fund death benefit to former housekeeper. Lise de la Harpe, Senior Legal Advisor at Sanlam. Introduction. Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act, 1956, which regulates the payment of fund death benefits, imposes several duties on the Board of Trustees, especially when it comes to conducting proper investigations to identify and trace dependents. The pension fund's adjudicator recently upheld the distribution of a fund death benefit to a former housekeeper to the exclusion of the nominee's deceased estate. Let's unpack the Pension Funds Act, 1956. Before delving into the detail of this determination, we first need to recap on the object of Section 37C. Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act regulates the payment of fund death benefits, and its main purpose is to ensure that those persons who were dependent on the deceased member are not left destitute after his, her death, regardless of whether or not the member was legally obligated to maintain them. For this very reason, Section 1 of the Act defines the concept of dependent. Very widely, Section 1 distinguishes between three categories of dependents. Legal dependents, persons in respect of whom the member owed a legal duty to support. Legal dependents do not have to prove that the member in fact maintained them. All they need to prove is that they qualify as a legal dependent as defined. Factual dependents, persons to whom the member owed no legal duty of financial support, but who nevertheless depended on the member financially. There are two essential requirements that have to be met for a person to be regarded as a factual dependent, being a need on the part of the claimant and the regular provision of financial support by the member. Future dependents, those persons whom the member did not financially maintain at the point of his death, but whom he would have maintained in future, had he not died. To fall within this category, one would have to prove that the member would have become liable to maintain you, had he not died. In essence, Section 37C imposes three duties on the Board of Trustees, namely to identify and trace dependents, as defined in Section 1 of the Act, and those persons, if any, who have been nominated by the deceased member, make benefit allocations on a fair and equitable basis, and lastly, determine an appropriate mode of payment of the death benefit. The CC recently confirmed in the Mutzler judgment that dependency must be determined at the time of the member's death. Once an individual is identified as a dependent, whether legal or factual, that status as a dependent does not change. If, however, at the distribution stage, there are changed circumstances that alter the needs of the dependent, for instance, if they inherited a large sum of money that rendered them no longer reliant on the deceased member or they passed away, the fund may have regard to these circumstances when determining an equitable distribution. Very importantly, the mere fact that someone falls within the definition of dependent only entitles him, her to be considered by the board when making the benefit allocation decision. Qualifying as a dependent in terms of the definition does not mean he, she automatically qualifies to share in the death benefit payable. Once the dependents have been identified, the next step is then to make a benefit allocation on a fair and equitable basis, taking into account all relevant factors and ignoring irrelevant ones. Lastly, once an allocation is made, the board must determine an appropriate mode of payment of the death benefit. The section goes on to stipulate timeframes for the payment of the death benefit, depending on the specific scenario, for example where there are dependents and no nominees, or no dependents and only a nominees, etc. H.C. Nell v. Alan Gray Retirement Annuity Fund and B.J. 2, the 3rd of June 2026. Ms. 2 worked as a housekeeper for the deceased, Mrs. Cook, and her husband, Mr. Cook, until her retirement. After retiring, the deceased continued to pay Ms. 2 R$3,500 per month for groceries and living expenses. The deceased member passed away on the 21st of September 2024, and her husband died less than 2 weeks later. Both the deceased and her husband bequeathed R$200,000 each to Ms. 2 from their respective estates. The complainant, as executrix of the deceased's estate, continued the monthly payments to Ms. 2. At the death of Mrs. Cook, a fund death benefit became payable in terms of Section 37C in the amount of roughly R$1,89m. The deceased and her husband had no children, and the deceased had nominated her husband as the sole beneficiary. By the time the board had concluded its investigation, Mr. Cook had also passed away. As such, the fund allocated 100% of the death benefit to EMS II in terms of Section 37(1)(a) of the Act as the only dependent. The crux of the complaint was as follows. The executrix submitted that the fund erred in allocating the entire benefit to EMS II in terms of Section 37(c)(1)(a), as this section only applies where there is no nominee. Mr. Cook was the designated nominee of the retirement annuity. The bequests of R$200,000 each from their respective deceased estates was specifically for the purpose of replacing the monthly stipend to ensure MUS II was not left without support. MUS II, having received the inheritance, is therefore no longer dependent on the deceased. The complainant thus submitted that the benefit should be distributed in terms of Section 37(c)(1)(b) of the Act, being where there is only a nominee and no dependents. The complainant therefore asked the adjudicator to order an equitable distribution of the benefit between Mr. Cook and MUS II. Turning to the facts, the adjudicator agreed with the fund treating MUS II as a factual dependent. MUS II needed maintenance and the deceased regularly provided such maintenance. With regards to Mr. Cook, the adjudicator confirmed that as the spouse of the member he qualified as a legal dependent. Although the Act does not define nominee for purposes of Section 37(c), it is clear from the Act that a nominee is a person who does not qualify as a dependent. The fund was therefore correct to treat Mr. Cook as a dependent rather than as a nominee. The adjudicator, however, disagreed with the fund's finding that MUS II was the only dependent. Referring to the Mutzler case, the adjudicator held that the death of Mr. Cook prior to the fund's allocation did not affect his status as a dependent. The fund therefore erred in its finding that MUS Tao was the only dependent and simply allocating 100% to her on that basis alone. Having said that, a right to a specific portion of the death benefit did not vest in Mr. Cook upon the death of the deceased. What arose was a right to be considered in the equitable allocation contemplated by Section 37(c). Once the relevant post-death circumstances are taken into account, including Mr. Cook's death before the allocation decision and MUS II's position as the surviving dependent, the equitable result on the facts of this matter should be that no portion of the benefit falls to be allocated to Mr. Cook, and that the full benefit be allocated to EMS II. The adjudicator accordingly replaced the board's decision on the aforesaid basis. Conclusion. The media coverage on this matter has focused very little, if at all, on what I consider to be the crux of the matter, which is the fact that a nominee, dependent's deceased estate is not entitled to a share in a fund death benefit where such nominee or dependent passes away before the fund has made an allocation. Put differently, a right to a specific portion of the death benefit does not vest in such dependent or nominee upon the death of the deceased. What arises at the member's death is no more than a right to be considered in the equitable allocation contemplated by Section 37(c). Ends. Author at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam plus posts bio at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam maintenance upon divorce should not be seen as a guaranteed meal ticket for life at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Popia update, information regulator issues an enforcement notice for an email data breach at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Fund Death Benefits. Supreme Court of Appeal weighs in on the 12-month period to identify and trace dependents at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam does abandoning your child render you unworthy to inherit? At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam directors take heed. Liquidation does not extinguish liability under Section 13A of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Direct Marketing. Unpacking the conflict between the amended CPA regulations and POPIA at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam. Impact of the Revenue Laws Amendment Act, 2025, on Provident Preservation Fund members at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam King V and the concept of independence. Impact on Retirement Fund Board of Trustees at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam King V Code on Corporate Governance. Getting ready for its implementation at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam National Assembly approves Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025 at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam FSCA publishes budget, estimates of expenditure, levies and fees proposals at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Section 37D deduction in respect of damages caused to an employer, obtaining an interdict against a fund preventing it from releasing fund benefits at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Ombud Council publishes draft rules for the Office of the Pension Funds Adjudicator at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam is it not time for our law to make provision for the deposition of an affidavit virtually? At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Financial Services Tribunal reaffirms the pension fund's adjudicator's jurisdiction when it comes to enforcing divorce orders at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam. The Constitutional Court weighs in on the distribution of death benefits in terms of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes final conduct standard-setting requirements for pension fund benefit administrators at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes joint communication on cloud computing and data offshoring at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Fund Death Benefits. The weight of a beneficiary nomination at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Tribunal rules on FSCA's authority to impose time limits on exemptions granted in terms of Section 7B of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA intends keeping a keen eye on fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam APAIA request for information is not a pre-discovery tool at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam OPFA Communication 1 of 2025 update on application of in duplum rule at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes conduct standard prescribing requirements for financial institutions providing financial education initiatives at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam. The risk in material non-disclosure at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam fund benefits and third-party bank accounts at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam recent adjudicator determination highlights importance of following S37D process at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam to be married or not to be at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Section 2B of the Wills Act. The effect of divorce on your will at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam non-payment of retirement fund contributions. The risk of being held personally liable at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam legal expert unpacks the expropriation bill at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam litigants take heed. The pitfalls of relying on artificial intelligence at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2025 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam update from National Treasury on the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024. At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam deduction from fund benefits in respect of damages caused to an employer. The limitations set out in the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information in respect of board members of retirement funds at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam death benefits and Section 37C. The duty to identify and trace dependents at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam two-pot truths for SA's burning retirement questions at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam FSCA publishes request for information on charges and fees charged on two-pot savings withdrawal claims at Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam Pension Funds Adjudicator publishes communication on the two-pot system at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Treasury publishes the Draft Revenue Laws Amendment Bill, 2024 at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Pension Funds Amendment Bill, 2024 impact on treatment of maintenance orders at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Ombud Council publishes its new rules. At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam FSCA publishes draft forms for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam what happens when the nominated beneficiary predeceases the policyholder. At Lise de la Harpe, Sanlam urges South Africans to pause before withdrawing at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes final joint standard on cybersecurity and cyber resilience requirements for financial institutions at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Divorce Amendment Bill signed into law at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes proposed amendments to the conditions for Section 14 transfers in terms of the Pension Funds Act at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam ASISA publishes updated guidelines on the protection of personal information at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam Two Pots. Pension Laws Amendment Bill 2024 adopted by Parliament at Lise de la Harpe. Sanlam FSCA publishes the final interpretation ruling 1 of 2024, RF, on the application of Section 37C of the Pension Funds Act, 1956. At L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 POTS update. Treasury publishes Draft Revenue Laws Second Amendment Bill, 2024 at L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 POTS. National Assembly passes Revenue Laws, RLAB, Bill the 20th of February 2024 at L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 POTS. FSCA today published requirements for rule amendments at L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam contractual capacity of minors at L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam pension interest and the joint estate. The impact of the Indaba judgment at L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam can you depose an affidavit virtually? At L'Ice de la Harpe, Sanlam 2 pot retirement system. Reset back to the 1st of March 2024 share on your socials.